SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, weekend preview, and we will be coming to you from Churchill on Monday, Breeders' Cup week, looking forward, of course, to 15 hours, and the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund makes Breeders' Cup coverage possible, and we'll leave shortly after, as soon as I pack the car. I haven't packed the car yet. Ed DeRosa joins us, and wasn't kidding, Ed, when I said that I imagine you're coming into this Breeders' Cup with a loaded wagon. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, the Keeneland meet has been kind to the bankroll and exercised some judicious bankroll management as well. So definitely feeling good about the coming week and hopefully close out. And, I mean, plenty of action with Mahoning Valley opening today for the rest of the year. But basically, this is the last big chance at, you know, a possibility where you go into a day knowing a huge score could await. So excited to tackle it. And the PPs are out. And, you know, as I was telling Anthony Stabile yesterday on the call-in show, I think throughout the year we may have, you know, questioned the depth of certain divisions and been more excited about certain divisions than others. But when it comes to these races, top to bottom, I can't imagine a better 2 days from a gambling standpoint, and I'm really excited for it.
And I made that point to Jay. I had that same feeling, Ed, as it happens, that you just voiced, that, you know, coming in, you know, there were a few areas that, you know, seemed kind of mundane and humdrum. But then when you got a chance to look at the pre-entries up and down, you realized, oh, this is going to be all right. This is going to be a fun race. And, you know, the sprint, it looked like the sprint was going to be somewhat narrow and short on field size, but it filled out okay the way things turned up. So, Philly and Mare sprint as well, the really every area. And then there were races that, you know, you knew you liked then and were anticipating, and then when you got the chance to look at them, you realized, oh, this is going to be fabulous. The Philly and Mare turf, not the Philly and Mare, but the juvenile Philly turf, where we already knew we had the superstar potential of Newspaper of Record, the way the rest of that filled out is exciting. And Gus just identified an interesting long shot to take a long look at in East, the Kevin Ryan runner.
Well, and the Future Star Friday inaugural component program for that definitely came together great, as you noted, the juvenile Phillies turf, and on the heels of what the juvenile turf last year put out, it's going to be tough to have a true encore of that, with Mendelssohn and Catholic Boy and some other names we knew from the Triple Crown Trail, like Snapper Sinclair and DeSormo's runner, whose name is My Boy Jack. What a race last year, and some winners overseas as well. So, elevating that race into this year is exciting. Of course, the juvenile always gives us an early derby look, and then the juvenile sprint, drawing 28 to kick things off. Obviously, they won't be running 28. We don't have a second tier at Churchill for the turf racing. But, to top to bottom, from race 5 on Friday through race 10 on Saturday, or race 11, whatever the classic is, just a whirlwind of activity. And I'll add to the list you mentioned, the much maligned by me, admittedly, at times, Dirt Mile, which looked like maybe would be Catalina Cruiser's Liam's Map impression at 2-5. A, drew a full field to make him earn it, and B, got City of Light as well, who is absolutely no slouch, and at the beginning of the year I thought might be the best horse in training. So surprises abounded in the pre-entries of the pleasant variety, and again, I just can't wait to hopefully make a score, but we're definitely going to come out swinging with these races.
A couple of preparation suggestions, Ed. I go through this every year with everybody, with you and Scully and Nick Tamaro. Your methodology in preparation.
Yeah, and it worked out. One of the panels I'm on for Equestrian is ticket structure, and I've been taking a long, long look at the Breeders' Cup since 2006, which was a year Churchill had it, so I thought that was a good starting point. And just looking at what choice won each race, what the double pick three and pick fours paid, and what I found, and this discussion's occurred on social media before, and what I found at Breeders' Cup supports what some people say, is you are much, much, much better off going with a singular opinion and then not forcing yourself to be right in the other two or three races or however many, you know, bets your pick end requires. And what I mean by that is it just seems like in the Breeders' Cup, more than most races, they're grade one races that have deep fields, you could say, there's very little difference between the seventh and eighth choice. I don't think any serious handicapper is going to look at a race and think, oh, well, these six cover it, and the 7th through 12th choices don't scare me. Or maybe the line's the 8th choice or the 5th choice. But there's somewhere in there where when you draw the line, you better be sure that you're not going to be kicking yourself because you didn't use your 8th choice, who's 30-1 and could make your year. And in situations like that, looking at what these things pay, I just looking at it on paper, it occurred to me that if you have an opinion, that's the one you want to be right on, and then spread. But don't put yourself in a jackpot when you go, say, 5 by 5 by 5, and then the 6th choice wins, and you got your 5th choice home in the other two races and are holding the bag on a big score. So I just think, and Sister Charlie is a name I'll throw out there who I'm really bullish on, that's an example of, that's a spot I'm not going to go 3 or 4 deep and triple or quadruple my tickets with her, but I will want to use my 9th choice in the races around her and try to get that 40-1 maybe, instead of relying on a couple favorites. Rely on one and then spread. And that's just, I've done the work. I've looked at what these things pay, and I just feel that's where the opportunity is on a day like next week.
Very good. Well, we should also survey the resources, Twin Spires and Brisnet. Tell everybody you've typically got all the package, everything BC related, in one convenient place.
Yeah, and Gus was a good lead-in, because of course his stuff will be available late next week, and that'll be at brisnet.com/BC. So if you're into the analysis stuff and like to read clever people's opinions, we have the Spotlight Selections. Richie Yang is back, so good to get the East and West Coast perspectives on handicapping these races. And, of course, full card PPs will be up Monday night after the draw. We have Steve Moody will be doing his Breeders' Cup handicapper sheet, so the rip on the Kentucky sheet, workout reports from our guys in the stands. Throughout the week, Gary Young's flying in. We're going to be doing some videos with him on Twin Spires. So a multimedia assault on handicapping information, but we're really excited to bring it to people at brisnet.com/BC.
Excellent. And, of course, you and Scully will round table next Thursday and Friday, both days, and get opinions then as well. Some thoughts going into the weekend. There's plenty of opportunity for everybody else to build their bankroll, but not just you.
There is plenty of opportunity for me to build some bankroll at home by spending the weekend with the family before the Breeders' Cup begins. So a lot of my work has been geared toward the pre-entries, although I'm going to be completely out of pocket Saturday. So today's my closing day at Keeneland. And I'm looking at the card today, and they are off the turf. I was really excited for the first ever turf sprint maiden race at Keeneland. I thought I was going to get to see it live, but they moved it to the dirt, so to no avail. But One thing, Steve, I've noticed looking early on at the Breeders' Cup stuff, and I'm not sure if any, I mean, I know they've talked about this horse, but haven't heard your take on it. But if Gunavera gets in, I'm actually pretty excited about him at 50-1, and was curious what you thought of him.
Well, I'm interested in horses coming from off the pace in this, in general, and that has been a good formula at Churchill and Classics generally. You know, there certainly is a horse or two that can impact this from the win end or anywhere through the exotics, and I suppose that he's that kind of a candidate. The reality, though, is Ed, the more you look and dig into his career and PPs, it's hard to get enthralled by his prospects. You know what I mean? What are we hanging the hat on? I mean,
certainly pace.
Yeah, no, I get it, and to me, I'm hard pressed to elevate him above the bottom rungs of the super, the kind of a third and fourth, you know, that bottom tier of your pyramid structure in an exotic. I can't. I mean, Discreet Lover passed them all, yes, and gets up at 45-1, and he or Gunavera, I mean, they will be 13th and 14th early. So you do get that. I would prefer tactical types that are going to be coming from off that. You know, that won't be left with as much to do as win candidates. And on that front, I would say, you know, Mind Your Biscuits, Yoshida, and Axelrod are, you know, middle priced horses from 8 to 18 to 1 that I think have got legitimate win shots, you know, coming from wherever, from 5th, 6th to 8th, 9th, if you follow my thinking.
Yeah. Well, and especially Mind Your Biscuits seems to get a lot of press, and he ran here locally, so people know him. But, you know, looking at the money he took or didn't take, depending on how you look at it, in the future wager, 12-1, I definitely feel is a fair price on him. And maybe he doesn't get the mile and a quarter. Maybe he's left with too much to do. But at 12-1, I'm willing to find out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and I have one other question, and I sort of hinted at this with City of Light. I was curious your take. I was really impressed with him at Oaklawn and thought, oh man, maybe this is the one to send in the older male division, and that didn't pan out. Robert Bruce, I thought was great in the Million, and I was really interested in him. And then along comes Catalina Cruiser and Enable, respectively, in those races. Is a handicapper who follows this year day in and day out as I do, and knows these horses in the big races. How do you balance being impressed earlier in the year and then that sort of mentality of, oh, how can I let this horse beat me on Breeders' Cup Day, even when you maybe like another one better in the moment?
That's a great question, and I've actually all this week that one of the ways in which I've approached questions is to say, you know, is there a horse that you latched onto during the course of the year? I think we have a tendency maybe to do that as much with the juveniles as any division. But when it comes to that, you want to use the Dirt Mile, for instance, both Catalina Cruiser and City of Light, I think had that kind of wake that they created, you know, with their performances, and are hurtling toward a confrontation here. I think who's got the best answer for that kind of thing is Andy Serling, who you know, may have, as he refers to them, the occasional pets, but for the most part, just it doesn't let that kind of emotion completely, you know, infiltrate the ticket building and just look at the race in its pure essence and handicap. And, you know, if you have certain affection toward certain horses, that's fine. And you can heavy up your leverage that way. But you got to be careful anyway to be married to horses in here, because there's mysteries and there's horses that you don't know well enough that, you know, that need evaluation before you make your decision, because you can't be overconfident in those cases, because there's too many things going on outside your purview to be able to, you know, to maintain that, you know, that confidence you had you know, in April.
Right, exactly. Yep. No, I agree, and I think Andy's well, I certainly know Andy's advice is the right advice to follow, but, you know, sometimes easier said than done. But you know, we'll see how the races around them shake out and what makes sense to wager and what the tote board takes into account. But those are, I know going in, those are two I'm going to struggle with. And in my case, you know, it's not even like a unique Bella or Classic Empire situation where I'm, you know, a fan and really want to see these horses win. I just remember, okay, yeah, I like what I saw. These were performances I think could win on a even bigger stage than what they did in the Million or at Oaklawn. And now here's the chance, and here's, you know, Waldgeist or Enable or Catalina Cruiser. So balancing that is part of the challenge.
Well, it's the most challenging 2 days of handicapping and wagering that the game offers. It's also as much fun as you can possibly have as a horse player, and also for the fans. So looking forward, and all the help and support from the team at Twin Spires and Brisnet. Ed DeRosa, enjoy the weekend, and we will see you early in the week, certainly. As early, I suppose, as when? Sunday? Sunday.
Monday, I'll be at the post draw.
Oh, very good. Well, all right. Then, all right. We'll see you in the morning, Sunday?
Yeah, see me at the track in the Monday morning.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, sorry. Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Perfect. Ed DeRosa, folks. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We've got Brian Sanfratello to talk to and Rick Hammerly. Hammer getting ready for what looks to be a nice weekend. If you haven't looked at Santa Anita yet, a lot to look forward to here. Antoinette, who has become, she was one of those horses for me earlier in the year that fell in love with. And she makes her return. Hasn't been seen since what can only be described as a disappointing effort in the Belmont Oaks. Interestingly, looking at that Belmont Oaks, Athena, you talk about evaporating after a... after a big win, you know, she won the Belmont Oaks and then sort of faded away. Athena didn't really take it to the next level. So, nice group in the Autumn Mist. And Battle of Midway is running as well in the Comet of the Top. Staying home, not contesting, not going to try to defend his Dirt Mile title, of course. That was a story that we didn't really get to. Back after this weekend preview at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
Are you on? University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and catch the summer on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
I like digging holes and hiding things inside them. When I grow old, I hope I won't forget to find them. 'Cause I've got memories and travel like gypsies in the night. I build a home and wait for someone to tear it down. Then pack it up in boxes, head for the next town. 'Cause I've got memories and travel like gypsies in the night.
We're back at the races, 25 past. Brian Sanfratello is going to join us from the Pennsylvania Breeders. And before we do that, I got a couple of quick notes I can slip in here. Actually, perfect time. Did you notice the piece from Dave Grenick? Just a little note. Carafa, it's too funny. Carafa has now retired, the hard-hitting New York bred, part of that that troika, triumvirate, tripod of wonderful turf runners, Lubash and King Creesa, and the three of them are going to be reunited, as everybody kept speculating. It's so cool. Carafa, Lubash, and King Creesa, ideally in the same paddock, racing against each other for the rest of their happy, hopefully happy days. Really kind of fun. Got a big kick out of that. You may have also seen the news that came yesterday. Yet another challenge was turned away in the Franklin Circuit Court. And of course, this group that keeps challenging the legality of the historic racing in Kentucky. Hopefully this is the last of these challenges. But Judge Wingate upheld the machinery. And so the wonderful growth that continues in not just at Kentucky Downs, but it's helped Ellis Park, of course. And ultimately, at some point, I don't know when Turfway is going to get things going, but they're supposed to. Also, the sale wrapped up yesterday. Four very good days. Basically, numbers were almost identical to last year. Median was up, and you ended up having the two highest prices of the 4 days yesterday. A Street Sense colt that Donato Lanny of Hillendale. Donato bought a $500,000 Forging Oak bred Street Sense colt, and there was a $430,000 tappet Kenny McPeak bought that Gainsway bred, and the highest filly, a Carpe Diem, that went to Rucker Racing. This one bred by Muth and Murphy, 290 was the highest filly. So very, very good 4 days of horse sale at the October selling. I should mention, maybe we'll touch it on with Hammer, but you got the second to last Stronach Pick 5 today. Starts at 4:30 at Gulfstream West with the 7th. And there you go. The rest of this can certainly wait, because Brian Sanfratello is standing by with us. Brian, good morning.
How you doing, Steve? Good to be with you again.
I was saving my Pennsylvania, one of my Pennsylvania news for you. Opportunity going to Northview.
Absolutely. But before we talk about Opportunity, I think you're going to have to talk me off the ledge as far as the Eagles are concerned. If they don't win this week, I don't know what's going to happen.
You do not, don't panic. Listen, I was there. I was sitting there Sunday, and, you know, it's funny. I turned to Tina at some point in the fourth quarter, and I said, you know, this clock cannot move fast enough. I had a feeling of dread. You could sort of see it happening in slow motion. That comes, Brian, that comes from spending 14 years in Section 729 in the vet. So,
God. Yep, fantastic news. Northview, PA, is getting Opportunity, multiple grade one winner. Winner of $4.7 million is a big move to Pennsylvania. And I think, you know, that's going to definitely help the PA sires. An Opportunity is not the only one coming. We have Warriors Reward coming in, mm-hmm. grade one winner. We have Social Inclusion coming in, third in the Preakness, the Wood and the Woody Stevens. We have, of course, you know, Smarty Jones is coming back.
Yep.
Again, that's enough for PA. We have a grade one winner, Mass Track, coming in, the Mizzen Mast horse. And we have a couple other horses, Eastwood, Graded Place, and Aero Force, a multiple graded winner. So things are really going in the right direction for Pennsylvania. And, you know, like you said, you know, big news with Opportunity.
Hey, Opportunity, I'll undoubtedly discuss with Sid Fernando as early as Wednesday. He will be, and I saw some things in the press release and some of the quotes. He, upon inspection, will wow people. I mean, he's an absolutely gorgeous horse. Any given Saturday's best son. Fans of Danzig, you know, there's a heavy Danzig presence in Opportunity. He's going to get turf horses. He's going to get dirt horses. He was unbelievably sound just his entire career. Nobody could look at him and realize that he's a seven-year-old. He had a nice demeanor. He was a nice horse to be around. There's so much to like about Opportunity. I thought this was a nice piece of news. And Northview, you know, between the Maryland station and the Pennsylvania station, and with so much interactivity, Brian, whether it's, you know, going down to Virginia and getting Virginia certified and then running in Pennsylvania, I mean, there's so much potential and so many ways to enhance your coffers as a breeder, as a commercial breeder, or as a, you know, as a breeder that competes themselves, that, you know, whether you're breeding to own or breeding to race, it feels like things are just tremendous in the region. And, you know, that also includes the reports of Mare's Bread the other day. In fact, Pennsylvania and Maryland, of the regional marketplaces, you were the only places that showed, you know, marketable growth.
Right, right. And, you know, we had approximately a little over an 8% increase in mares bred in 18, and that was after being up about 15 to 19% in 2017. Another good information was the fact that our live foals were up 29% in 18. So again, things are just moving fantastically for Pennsylvania. But like you said, it's all over the region, and so you know we're just trying to do whatever we can to make sure that people know that Pennsylvania is probably the best program in the country. I don't know, you know, where else you're going to get a 50% breeder award for maiden races and a 40% breeder award for all other races. The number of restricted races, we've been running over 400 a year, $2,200,000 stakes each year. So, you know, this is a fantastic time for Pennsylvania.
Absolutely. And we are looking forward to what lies ahead. And Sid and I will talk about what kind of a mare fits nicely to Opportunity. And, you know, I know it's not thoroughbreds, of course, but at Pocono Downs tomorrow night, we had a Breeders' Crown report. So even on the standard bred side, some excitement in the state.
Right, and we have been working together with the standard bred horsemen's groups and breeder organization over the past year or so, because you know that 1% of the racehorse development fund goes to marketing. The stakeholders will receive some of that, but some of that will go for statewide marketing, again, both thoroughbred and standard bred. So, you know, it's another, exciting thing that's happening. And I think one of the reasons why we've been up as much as we have is the fact that the Racehorse Development Fund is now in a trust. So basically money can't be touched from that fund. For, you know, outside racing and breeding. So it's been, I think people understand that, you know, I was getting before, well, if I'm going to invest, I have to know, or bring mares in, I have to know that three, mm-hmm. 4 years down the road, that money's going to be here. And, you know, in the past, it's been a little questionable, but now, you know, because of that, I think that's one of the things making people move. And, you know, we say, you know, we used to get phone calls before, where can I bring a mare, et cetera. Well, I'm getting them again. They're back again. So I just think it's a great time for Pennsylvania.
Well, PennsylvaniaBred.com, PABred.com has got all the information that you might need to make those kinds of decisions and go through the stallion roster, do some mare matching, and make some decisions. But lots of good things continue to happen in and around Pennsylvania, and that includes some Breeders' Cup runners that are based certainly at Parks. I mean, we've got you got your sprint favorite and Louis Carvajal and Imperial Hint. You've got John Service going in with the Jaywalk into the Juvenile Fillies. You got Jason Service with a handful of his horses. Really a big Breeders' Cup coming up for Pennsylvania based horsemen.
Right, right. You have Uriah St. Louis with Discreet Lover and Classic.
Absolutely. Yep.
We have PA Bred Shamrock Rose in the Philly and Mare Sprint. So, you know, we're looking to get forward to a fantastic Breeders' Cup in Pennsylvania.
Well, Brian, are we going to see you at you coming to Cup?
I wish I were, but I can't. We'll see. Maybe next year I'll get there.
All right. Well, Brian, I appreciate this, as always, and the support of the Pennsylvania Horse Breeders Association. You can follow them on Twitter as well, and use the website for all you need to know, PABred.com. And if you're following online, PA_PHBA. Brian, enjoy Cup, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks. Take it easy.
Brian Sanfratello, and the Pennsylvania program, he brings up that trust aspect. You know, people were worried, oh, they're going to take the money. No, the money's locked in. So we'll stay right here. They might as well stay here. We got about 20 minutes plus to close out with Hammer. And we wait for Rick to join us, a couple of other little pieces of news that I had saved. I saw yesterday, speaking of breeding, Caleb's posse is going to go to Oklahoma. And he's sort of, kind of coming home, actually, because his pedigree is littered with a female family, a lot of Oklahoma there. So son of Posse, and, of course, Posse's, Posse with his big shot, actually, you would think, with Mind Your Biscuits in the Classic. Here's another regional posse that is going to now go to Oklahoma. And I saw the nicest thing. I saw this in the TDN. Oaklawn is going to name the winner's circle in honor of Larry Snyder. Really nice. And so you'll hear Vic Stoffer say the winner returning to the Larry Snyder winner's circle. And Larry held in the highest regard in Hot Springs and in the region as a jock, of course, and as a longtime steward as well. And one sad note that I got to slip in here, too. Joe Shields passed away apparently on October 10th. And this news had escaped public consumption for a while. And in fact, I saw Jimmy Jerkins for a second on Wednesday, and I wasn't aware of this. Wednesday evening, Dave Grenig spread the news, and I guess Jimmy went to the funeral. And of course, Joe Shields, long successful career as an owner, so wanted to pay respects. Wagon Limit, the name that comes to mind when you think about Joe Shields. Rick Hammerly standing by. There's Hammer. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
We're good. We're good. Getting ready. Literally, when I hang up from you, I'm packing the car.
Sounds like you're fired up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fired up to go. Good. It's getting that way. And it's good to be back in California for a little bit, and we have a good few days of racing. I think we'll end up real good. Three days here, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The next week we do not race on the Thursday, and we'll come back at you with Breeders' Cup Friday, Breeders' Cup Saturday, and then a big Sunday ending. I think we have a contest on Sunday as well.
You do. You do have, that's right. The day after Breeders' Cup is the last of those five fall contests.
Right, yes. I think we figured if there are people here that are in the BCBC, they could just play here and then hang out and play in another tournament on Sunday. We've really captured that tournament fever and tournament crowd here. So we get a lot of positive response at the people that show up here. So, hey, come on out for a tournament.
Well, we'll talk about the racing in a second, Rick. Meanwhile, plenty of activity going on. In fact, right now, Jay Pribman, we talked to an hour and a half or so ago, and he's on hand to watch the preparations, including the likely favorite in the juvenile when it comes to game winner and the rest of the runners, Baffert, gearing up, of course, with his group of horses, I think he entered eight or nine
of them. And Ed Golden just came in and gave me the old, I guess, Abel Tasman and Val Dori worked together and worked in 47 and change. And you're right, Game Winner worked, I guess, in company with Axeman. And he said Bob was all smiles after that. So that's a good thing. Dream Tree was ready to work maybe after this next break, which is anytime soon. He'll probably work. We've got Pavel from Doug O'Neill's barn working today before the first, so about 12:30 our time. Pavel's going to go 7/8 for his final tune-up. So they're all, they're not ducking anything because the weather's fine. They're just trying to find their sweet spot when they're going to get their final work in. So most of them decided to stay here until the last minute, get their final preparations here, and then head to Louisville, except for at least one guy I know, and I was there last week watching the ball game. I looked over, and I saw Mike McCarthy there, so he went early. His horses went early, and including City of Light and the other few, the two year old filly, I can't remember her name right now, the Violence filly, but he's got three or four going on, and so he went early, and so some like to go early, some like to wait, but most of them are waiting here for their final work here that'll go whenever the plane leaves early next week.
Well, the one you're thinking of is Vibrance, the filly.
Right, right.
And, you know, you mentioned, I'm glad you mentioned not just Vibrance, but when you say the Violence filly, the stallion head count of pre-entrance, Galileo leads with this huge group of Euros. That's not unusual. Galileo with nine pre-entrance. The North American stallion with the most other pre-entrance?
Violence
with seven.
That's really hard to believe. I would have never come up with that one. You must have been staying up late.
Actually, TDN gave it to me. TDN published the list, and I saw that, and I got to reach out to John Secura, who's got to be just tickled with that. And as it happens, Kitten's Joy next with six. But Violence has only got two crops. it's crazy.
That's not bad to put on your resume, I'll tell you that.
Unbelievable.
Got a big smile on his face right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that was interesting.
Paid the other that Michael had out there. So he's out early. I don't know. I think some people just come comfortable with, staying home as long as they can and then going. Seems to work for most. So we've got a couple things going on here. We got the Stronach 5 today. Starts at 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 here. We got the old Rainbow Jackpot, over $750,000. So we've got four or five more days. We'll see if that makes it to the end. I told you about Pavel Werken. We got the Dodgers here for 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We'll see if they can turn the tables on the Red Sox. But and it's going to be about 85. So it's a nice day here.
Things shaping up nicely for the weekend. And that includes, I thought, a nice group in the Autumn Miss. And one of my favorites as the year went on, Toinette, who we took a shine to in the early spring and then ran a wonderful race in the Edgewood, part of the Derby weekend.
Yeah, it's nice to have her presence here. She's been training here for a while, and we get to see her run here. Been out since July. I'm thinking this is probably a prep for the American Oaks, which will be run here in late December. The mile and a quarter, Grade One for 3-year-old fillies on the turf. So, just the fact that she ran in the Belmont Oaks, and like you said, probably a little bit disappointing. The fact that she looks like she wants to go a mile and a quarter. So I think this is a little prep for her. And some of these others might be prepping in here too. But it's amazing what you get for $100,000 Grade Three. You know, full field of 14, competitive bunch. You know, some going up, some going down. But a nice bunch. Miss Bad Behaviors in there for Richard Mandel. I know we liked her last time and coming down the hill in the Unzip Me. So she's 4-1 in the program. With the big field, she might drift up. But this looks like she could be all right. Pulpit Rider on the rail, 3-for-3 at a mile, and we've gone over, I don't mind the outside, but she might just be able to tuck in there on the rail, save a little ground, and show her kick. She didn't take to the hill too well, but I think the mile distance of the two turns will help her out. And then we got Tesora, who is shipping in for Jonathan Thomas of. Who will have the runner in the classic for the first time? But Tesora comes out, and has been eating up the turf. You know, three for five, has won at the mile distance at Del Mar, and we're glad to see him back in town with this filly with Drayden Van Dyke on there. She's worth a look. Even if we start from the outside and go back in, you got Hayden Agreda from Richard Baltus, who actually has three runners in here, and she's in the 14th post. But don't be afraid of that. She's going to be a nice price. I think she's got a little run in here. John Sheriff has a couple fillies in here, including Spring Lily, who will try to turf for the first time. But this just has the look of a filly that's going to like the turf and has a little bit of class behind her, too. So a good-looking stake on Saturday, tomorrow. Most of those will probably stay in. And then on Sunday, I mean, if you can find a tougher $75,000 stake for older horses, I think I looked at them. So there's seven in there for $75,000 going a mile. Six of them are stake winners. We got two grade one winners. We got a grade two winner. We got a grade three winner. I mean, it's unbelievable in here. But leading the pack is Battle of Midway, who I guess they decided wasn't quite ready to hit the Breeders' Cup, so they're going to back off a little bit. He's going to run here. I think his next stop might be the San Antonio, which will run opening day here now in December. And then if all goes well, I think he's headed to the Pegasus. So taking a little bit different route for Battle of Midway, so we'll keep an eye on him. A mile's going to hit him right in the head. Roman Rosso from the Bob Baffert barn was sent here, group one winner in down south in South America, ran in the Pacific Classic. Yeah, I mean, ran fourth, got beat off. That was Accelerate's, you know, second coming out party down there when he won by the length of the stretch. So we'll see what happens here. Curlin Rhodes in there. He's a grade three winner from the Doug O'Neill barn. You got Tatters to Riches on the rail, who they really, really were thinking high of, and he comes off a smashing win in the Shared Belief down there at Del Mar. So not too bad of a horse race here for $75,000, especially for these older colts and the Breeders' Cup right around the corner. So I think you'll see more of that the last weekend here, too, as we kind of finish up here and we get to actually simulcast the Breeders' Cup from here at Santa Anita. It doesn't happen too often, as we've had it here many years, and then last year was at Del Mar, and then so it'll be fun for the people here to be able to kind of be in their box seats and wager on the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the way these two stakes came up, Rick. It is remarkable how often this happens, and you seem to. You know, I know that you seem to get these, not just you. I mean, a lot of times the modest purse, things just kind of come together. And not the least, of course, was the availability in this race for Battle of Midway, who, you know, opted, you know, not to try to defend his Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile win from a year ago. It really kind of enhances it, but there's any number of, you know, St. Joe Bay, the grade one type participant. It's pretty funny. And then, the girls' race between the prepping for the grade one down the road and, you know, then other horses are making this, you know, this is their matriarch.
Exactly, and you know, it is amazing. Lots of times it's timing more than money, and believe it or not, if this Comet at the Top, if that had a $200,000 purse on it, we'd get four horses. I don't know what it is. Same with the Automist. If that was $200,000-$300,000, we wouldn't get 14. It would be, you know, they think it's too tough because the purse is too big, and so mentally you're going in saying that's $100,000, it can't be that bad. And you go in. So it is amazing how, especially on some of the big days around, with multiple graded races going on, and then you have one race with 75 or 100, and that's the biggest field. So it's all about timing, and this Comet to the Top kind of originated. It used to be called the Big Bear Stakes back when we had the Breeders' Cup here 3 years in a row. I think 12, 13, 14, 11, 12, 13, something like that. And we needed just a race for horses coming to town that didn't make certain races. So we threw it up, and it's actually had some good winners through the past. and ended up naming it for Gary Barber's and Peter Miller's Comet to the Top, and so left it on the schedule, and so it works. And there's the way that goes. And before we move on and do some Breeders' Cup stuff, I did want to talk about Hopportunity. Is he officially retired or unofficially retired? But I guess he's not going to race anymore. But what a racehorse. I mean, what a horse to have around in the barn, and definitely a fan favorite. He ran 34 times. Almost half of that here at Santa Anita, 16 starts here. He won 5 starts here. But going back over his career, I mean, the guy got a paycheck. I mean, he got a paycheck almost just about every race. And yep. He went back as his first race was at 7 furlongs, and he went mile and a 16th, mile and a quarter, mile and a half, whatever you wanted. I thought he ran, he didn't win a grade one here at Santa Anita, but he ran second to a couple good ones. He ran second in the 2014 Santa Anita Derby to California Chrome. So that's how long Opportunity's been around. But you don't see too many of these around anywhere. He won the Tokyo City at a mile and a half. Won the Jockey Club Gold Cup. He won the San Antonio. He's just a pure racehorse. So we'll miss him around. I don't know what he's going to be up to, but this is the type of horse we wouldn't mind seeing parade. You know, they would come out to see, our fans would come out to see Opportunity, that's for sure.
Oh, that'd be nice. That would be nice.
So I don't know. We only race a few more days, but I don't know what his plans are. But just a fan favorite. Some of those horses you can't make up, they just become favorites, and this is one of them.
Absolutely. Yep. At the barn, too. They love them. Absolutely.
Yeah. Hopper.
Rick, about 3 or 4 minutes, we got to close it out, but some quick Breeders' Cup thoughts heading into the weekend?
Well, I tell you, there's going to be a lot of California horses, especially in the dirt division, that are going to be on top with Bellafina and Game Winner and Marley's Freedom and Dream Tree and Stormy Liberal and Conquest Tsunami and City of Light. Catalina Cruiser, Roy H. is going to be one of the choices. And, of course, in the Classic, Accelerate West Coast and McKenzie, a good three-bagger for California. The Phillies, Abel Tasman. Excuse me. And speaking of that Phillies race, there's a horse in there I've been hoping would keep along, and I was hoping he would get in, and she's in, and this is I've been waiting to play this horse in the Breeders' Cup. Been running here for a while. Think she's going to be 20, 25 to 1. Horse called La Force from Patty Gallagher's barn. I've been watching. I know it's one of those races. You know, she runs second to Unique Bell a couple times. She runs second last time. And just kind of, somebody had to run second type of thing. But she's been kind of quietly making improvements. And she's been running in small fields here, 5-6 horses, where there really hasn't been any kind of setup. It appears like she's going to want the mile and an eighth. There's going to be some speed to run at. I think she's quietly going to be in the trifecta. So that's my first release, La Force, in the distaff. I'm not going to mention her again, but I think she hits the board in that race one way or another. I think she's going to have a real setup to run at. She really hasn't before. I think she's talented. She's only won a couple races. But anyway, so I'm excited about La Force.
I completely agree. And in fact, we went looking and reached out to Patty Gallagher, what was it, about 2 weeks ago on the air, and her name came up. I don't know if it was you and I talking or where it came from, but we were interested as well. And I completely agree that she will be an ideal. We'll talk next week about the Kenny Kirkner reverse tri-key. This is the kind of horse that you put a horse like this in third with, you know, 4x3 above them, you score. Absolutely, Rick.
So that's of the California horses. But of the ones we mentioned earlier, as far as, you know, they're not all going to win. They're mostly going to get beat. I think Stormy Liberal, and I think Peter Miller's partnership in that race, with Stormy Liberal and Conquest Tsunami, who have run together a few times, they are tough. I tell you, Stormy Liberal just knows where the wire is. He seems to just get the nose down when he. I think he's going to be super tough to repeat there. and Roy H. He wasn't as sharp as long as he was last year coming into the race, but he turned it on when he needed to in those last race. I think he's going to be super tough. Another Peter Miller charge, but I think they're going to be super tough. The other ones, you know, are vulnerable. I'm really, really hoping that John Sather breaks his Breeders' Cup offer. You know, get off the duck. He's got three good chances here with obviously with Accelerate. I mean, this horse has been on that level all year. And people say, oh, the last race wasn't that good. Tell you what, you want to watch that last race. I mean, he didn't break that well. They could have just said, right, you know what, wrap him up, save him for the next time. And he had to do a few things there that he didn't normally have to do, and he got by and he won. So he's a legitimate favorite in there, without a doubt. Catalina Cruiser, he's 4-for-4. And each time got faster, and they went with the old let's train them approach. I know John was a little hesitant to do that with Accelerate. That's why he ran. But this is a legitimate low price horse in the mile, and then in the Filly and Mare Sprint, Selcourt is been off the radar for a while, and I'm telling you, when she's good, she's very good, and I'm hoping the price drifts up a little bit on her just because she doesn't have the recency. But she beat Marley's Freedom, I believe, back there. I'm not looking at the PPs right now, but this is a pretty loaded field, and Marley's Freedom, of course, is looking to roll. But I think Selcourt, if you get a decent price on her, you got to look at her too. So we're hoping John Sadler gets off his schneid here in the 218 Breeders' Cup.
Absolutely. Breck, we will see you next week, and you and Jimmy will get our details and get our selections and do what we do. Breeders' Cup week, we're coming to you from Churchill on Monday morning. Have a great weekend, everybody. HRRN coverage later. Yeah.
Go Dodgers.
Well, hope they make it a series, and that starts tonight. Want to thank Dave Brower, particularly for the Breeders' Crown preview. That was fun. Scully and DeRosa, Jay Pribman, Brian Sanfratello, Gus stopped by as well. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you on the road to the Ville. Heading out as soon as I can pack the car. What else can I tell you? Missing anything else? I guess that's it. Thanks to Case. We'll talk to you from Kentucky Monday. Thanks, everybody.
Hold on the apple. Oh, there goes a Buick 49, like sheep of the angels riding down the line. We think there is a soul. We don't know. That soul is hard to find. Down the road. Down the road. Down the road. If you're out to get the
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.